Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. This is Apostle Stephen Amaker, and this is the Deliverance by Faith radio service. I'm excited. Thank God for Happy New Year. Let me start off with that. Happy New Year to everybody. This is our first broadcast of the new year, and the Lord is, he is just awesome. Before I get started, I'd like to open up to our co-host, Lady A. God bless you, woman of God.
God bless you, Apostle, and Happy New Year, everybody. Hope everybody New Year is starting off on the right foot, praising and giving glory unto God on this day, thanking him for what he's done and where he's brought us from, looking just a tad bit to look back, just thanking God for 2017 and how good and awesome that he has been and all that he did in 2018, and just thanking him for, you know, blessing us to cross on over into the new year. So I'm just thanking and praising God for everything that he has done. So he has been awesome in all his ways. Just looking forward to the word on tonight. Praise God. Hope everybody's doing well, though. Hope everybody's doing well. Praise God.
I'm trying to get my volume. I barely hear you. I don't want to keep asking you what you say. So I'm trying to adjust my volume here. Hello?
Hello?
There you go. That sounds good. Okay. I'm going to do a little different tonight for the first part of the broadcast. I'm going to go a little different. I'm going to ask Lady A to help me reminisce and fill in the pieces that I miss. We, for the last 2 months, my family, my immediate family, my extended family, and myself and Lady A, we went through some changes, let's say like that, and through illnesses of family members and near-death experiences with family members and back and forth to the hospital. Started out with my aunt. She went to the hospital. And right after she went, my mother went to the hospital. Well, my mother had went in and they said she had pneumonia. And so, within a couple of days, they gave her some meds and sent her home. So, my sister called me back and said, I got to take mom back to the hospital. I'm like, what's wrong? So, she has shortness of breath. I'm kind of taking the long way around because when I finish, you'll see why this is the apostles' praise. Took her to the hospital. It so happened I was able to get there while she was in the emergency room. I seen them administer medical attention to my mother. One, they put this big tube down her throat, down her mouth, and another tube down her throat. And my brothers and sisters, it did not look good at all. It didn't look good. The reports from the doctors and what have you, it wasn't looking good at all. So, dealt with that. Doctors called us in. To now call the children in. So we went down and met with the doctors. And they said, well, these are your options. These are your options. We can put it in a nursing home. We can unplug all the machinery and see what happens. We can just, because there's nothing else we know what to do. Because of her age and the state that she was in. And so for days, I stayed at that hospital throughout the whole day with my mother. And I'm seeing her laying there. So sedated because of the stuff that she had down her mouth and her throat. And when she would come out of it, out of sedation, she would try to pull it out. And I said, wow, that got to be really uncomfortable. And I thought about myself. I said to the Lord then, I said, if anything ever happened to me, please, don't let me have to have this same apparatus, machinery hooked up to me. So, the days she laid there, like I said, we called close family friends. And the way the doctor was talking was, y'all might need to start preparing for home going because it don't look like she's going to make it. So while at the same time, we're getting that news, and I'm not going to run too far from that right yet. At the same time, my aunt is now readmitted into the hospital. So my mother and her sister, there's only three of them left, my mother, her sister, and her youngest brother. Her sister is now being admitted to the hospital with some other problems that she was dealing with. Gastric. In other words, she couldn't eat. She wouldn't eat. And because she couldn't eat and wouldn't eat, she got a bad case of what you might call gas in her system. So, the doctor called myself and my sisters and my brother in. He says, look, this is your option. So we thought about it, we talked about it, we prayed, and we talked about it, and we said, we don't want to see mom have to suffer. You're not putting her in a nursing home. That's out of the question. And we don't want to see her suffer. So we came to agreement. We were going to allow the doctor to pull the equipment off, machines off, the respirator and breathing machines, all of that. And we're going to see the doctor's terminology. We'll just see what happens. We're going to unplug everything, and we'll see what happens. That was the best way for us, my sister and my brother. We said, well, because now she is totally in the hands of God. So Sunday night after service, we went to the hospital and some very close family friends stopped by and seeing her and the condition she was in, and we cried and we prayed and, you know, we cried and prayed some more. And so when I got home, the Lord gave me the scripture, Mark 9th chapter, which paraphrases, one of the verses that he gave me was, anything is possible to them that believe. And I said, well, Lord, I hear. I said, well, I'm not ready for my mother to leave here yet. There's some things that she needs to take care of before you take her. She needs to set some things in order. Please allow, raise her up and let her get these very important issues resolved. Okay. While we're waiting for the doctor to come in and unplug everything, another doctor run in the room, said, hold everything. Don't touch nothing. Let me work with her and see what I can do. Right then, I recognized the Holy Ghost. I said, Lord, I see you extending her life. You're going to let her live. He said, no, yeah. He said, let me work with her for a couple of days and see what I can do. So another doctor, he was pretty much staying the same. He was going to pull everything and we'll see what happens because there's nothing more I can do. I said, okay. By that time, another doctor came in. He said, her doctor came in. He said, don't touch nothing. Let me work with her. I know her. Let me work with her a couple of days. See what I can do. Now, I'm shouting. I'm saying, look at you, Lord. Last minute time, you have the doctor to walk in and say, not yet. Not yet. Okay. The plot thickens. I'm going back and forth to the hospital. I go in for session 3 times a week. And so my session, I go in very early in the morning so I can get finished and have the rest of the day to myself. And so I went in. No, I didn't go in that day, that Saturday morning. I told my wife, lady, I said, honey, I don't feel good. I'm not going to go today. I'll just wait until my next session. And so she said, okay. I went back to sleep. Got back in the bed, went back to sleep. Woke up about 7 o'clock on Saturday morning. I couldn't walk from the bedroom to the bathroom. My legs. Now, I'm walking fine Friday. Saturday morning, I wake up. I don't have no legs. It just wouldn't stand up under me. So I told my lady, I said, you need to call the ambulance. And let me go and see what's going on. Well, he took me to the hospital, to the emergency ER, and he said, well, Miss Damica, you got pneumonia. I said, oh, okay, ain't no problem. I seen you gave my mother some pills, and within a couple of days, she went back home. So this is what I'm thinking was going to be for me. Same situation. He said, oh, no. You see something else. Look what you see. I'm not a person that have ever had heart problems, heart trouble. Never. No heart attacks, no major heart issues, never. He said, we see an infection on a valve in your heart. Now, let me digress for a minute. Because now the last couple of days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'm hiccuping all day uncontrollably. Hiccup. And then, not just hiccuping, but I would hiccup and cough at the same time. That's no fun. Now, I'm not just hiccuping and coughing at the same time. I'm hiccuping, coughing, and can't breathe at the same time. Like, oh man, what in the world is this? So they came back and said, "Well, you have an infection on the valve." Hey, sure, ain't no big deal. You gonna laser it, and do your do, and send me on about my way. He said, "Oh no, not that you." Like that is. You're going to have to go in. You're going to have to cut you and go in and fix the problem with your heart, with the valve. Replace the valve. Anybody know, anytime they talk about doing valve replacement or anything to do with that is what they call technically, open heart surgery. Okay. Spent a few days in the hospital in preparation. I'm still not grasping what is about to happen to me because I've never been here before. I never went through anything in my life that would put me in such a place. So I did not know the magnitude of what was happening to me. So, Monday afternoon, they said, "Well, we're going to schedule your surgery." At first it was saying Friday, and he said Saturday. I said, "No, we'll wait till Monday. Monday afternoon, you'll go in and we'll perform surgery." So now the surgery is going to be 5 to 5.5 hours. I'm still not thinking what he just said. 5.5 hours. 5.5 hours. I'm in surgery. I'm gonna fast forward and then I'm gonna back up. Make that long story short. I went through, I told Lady A, so you go home. No need of you just sitting here while I'm in surgery. You go home, catch up with yourself, and rest and relax, and I'll see you later. Not knowing. That minute, that when I said I'll see you later, it was possible that I didn't see her later because of the type of operation that it was. Anytime you go messing and operating on the heart, that is 50-50. There's no guarantee that you're going to come through it. I mean, I've heard of people having heart surgeries and expiring while in the middle of the surgery. And so she left, came on home. About, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, I wake up out of sedation and what do you call that stuff, honey? When they put you to sleep.
Sedation.
Huh?
The sedation.
Not sedation, but
Anesthesia?
They have to do that. They put you under so that you really don't know what's going on. Well, I woke up, and what I asked the Lord, please don't let happen to me, happen. I had that big tube down my throat, my mouth. I had another tube down my throat, and I woke up kicking and screaming. Get this out of me. Get this out of me, please. Nurse ran in and said, what's wrong, Mr. Amos? I'm like, hey, you got to get your stuff. I'm not even talking. I can't talk because my mouth is full of stuff between the equipment, the respirator and other machinery they had me on. And I couldn't talk. But it was like, well, we'll ask you, and if it is, you say yes or no or whatever. So they said, well, do you want us to take that tube out? I said, yes. Yes, I squeezed her hand. And yes, get this out of me. You got to get this out of me. I'm pointing to it. Take it out. Take it out. I'm trying to relate to her. I need you to take this out. So she ran out the room. Came back a few minutes later. And said the doctor said that surgery was good. Your numbers are good. And you don't have to have this tube in your mouth for the next 4 or 5 days. Praise God. But I'm saying to the nurse, you're not finished yet. You still got this other tube down my esophagus that the tube is big as a straw, one of them big straws from 7-Eleven. When you go in there, they have those big straws. That's what was down my esophagus. And she said, oh, no, can't take that out. I said, oh, yeah. She went back. She said, well, let me see what the doctor said. I don't know how long it took her, but she came back. He said, the doctor said we could take it out. I'm praising the Lord. Praising the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So it's about 4:30, 5 o'clock Tuesday morning now. Once they took all that stuff out of my mouth and everything, and I was able to talk, I told the nurse, call my wife. 5 o'clock in the morning. Said, oh, we can't call her this time of morning. We're going to wake her up. I said, call my wife now. It kind of startled her to see on her phone the hospital calling 5 o'clock in the morning. Don't know what's going on. When I finally heard her voice, I said, hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Why? Because I wanted the first words out of my mouth to be praises unto God. And my wife and I were able to praise the Lord for what he's done. What he's done. Now, and then let me stay here for a minute. And then, you know, they were like, well, you're gonna have to be here. You're gonna have to be here for another at least another month or two in the hospital. Can't stay here that long. Ooh. You know, Mr. Amaka, because of the type of operation, it's going to be a six month healing process. And they told us, my wife and I, all of what I couldn't do, what she will have to do, because she had to do everything. She had to do everything because, one, I was limited to what I could do because of the surgery and the type of surgery. They don't want you to rush back. They don't want you to overexert yourself. Don't lift nothing over 8 pounds. Don't put your hands over your head. You raise your hand up to your face, but don't go no higher than that. So you can't, you know. They tried to get me back to walking. Well, they did in the hospital. Let me walk up and down the hall, kind of get me back in. And at the same time, I'm waiting for my bodily function to return. Simple things that the body does, it stopped doing because of the operation. It's like unplugging your light or rebooting your computer. You have to wait for it to recalibrate its normal action and form and function. I said, well, okay. You know, the doctors, they came. Thank God for the doctors. They treated me very, very well. They did all they could do. But I did not give them praise. I even told them, thanks be unto God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank you for what you did. But I thank God because I know who's my redeemer. I know where my help comes from. I know why I'm... No, let me say it like this. I know who allowed me to still be alive. It wasn't a doctor because it wasn't in the hands. Okay. Just a couple of days ago, seeing different medical professionals, what have you, and asking questions and everything. This is one of the words that the Lord gave me to share with whoever will hear. He that have an ear, let him hear. I didn't know all of what they had to do to get to my heart. So the first 2 hours of surgery could have been just trying to get to my heart. I was told they had to cut in layers. Cut, then go back and cut some more, then go back and cut some more, and go deeper. Every time they cut, they go deeper. To where my heart, to get to my heart. Then they got to my chest cavity, which they had to break in order to get to the heart. So now I'm cut. They broke bones, and they finally got to my heart, got it out of my body, sitting on the table and fixing the vow that needs to be fixed. Cut in layers all the way down. See, when they do a heart surgery, it's not just one cut. They're going to have to cut and cut and cut and cut. Excuse me. Cut past different organs, cut past different things, so that they can get to your heart. It feels like your heart is on the top of your chest, but it's not. It's not. The reality of it is that it's not on the top of your chest. That like that. That can be. So I went through that. All that cutting. All of that cutting and working on. And the Lord told me, he said, I want you to tell my people, don't make me have to make you go through all of what I went through, cutting and the surgery, just to fix my heart. Let that soak in. That's a Selah moment. You need to consider and voluntarily rend God your heart. Give it to him. I was telling somebody Sunday, I said, it's like the potter's wheel. You don't want to get on the potter's wheel. Because it's breaking, it's all kind of thing going on the potter's wheel. And then the Bible says, can the clay say to the potter, make me, fashion me this way? And the potter says, I'm going to fashion you the way I want you to. I want to see you. I want you to be. So it's no pretty way of a heart surgery. There's no pretty way. And for God to work on your heart, for God to do for you what needs to be done to your heart, it's going to get done. I'm going to tell you now, it's going to get done. You can come kicking, you can come screaming, you come hollering, but guess what? The easiest way is just say, here, have your way, Lord. Do have thy will be done. Do what you desire to do to my heart. And don't make me go through what Apostle went through for you to get to my heart. Here, I volunteer. Work on it. Do what you want to do. He said, I remove the stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. That heart that says, I'm this way. The heart that says, I'm not going to bend. The heart that says, I'm not going to change. I'm not going to submit. I'm not going to do none of that. Give that heart to God. Give your heart. Jesus said, y'all come to me with your clothes and your all these formalities and everything, but your heart, woo, is far from me. What he is asking for you won't give him that. You give him everything else that he seems like he wants, or what you want to hold on to. But you won't give him your heart. And this is what he wants most. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. Surrender your heart. Open up your heart. We used to sing a song back in the 70s, let him in today. Let him in to stay. Open up your heart and let the Lord come in. Jesus, and then another part of the song said, listen, 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 listen. Listen to what? Somebody's knocking, and it must be Jesus. Why don't you let him in today? Oh, wait a minute. Let me distinguish here. I'm not talking to the seasoned, rather the sinner. I'm talking to you, the seasoned Christian. Because you know how to do everything else, but you just got problems when it comes to doing the most important thing, and that's to give God your heart. What he wants the most, you refuse to give him. And that takes time. That takes time. Some of us been saved for years and have never surrendered our heart fully. Fully surrender our heart to God. You think you did. You say you did. And then you get up and you say, well, God knows my heart. Right. He does. He does. He does. He does. He knows your heart. He knows that you know how you feel, how you think. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We're going to get into that for a minute, a little later. So people say stuff, and you wonder why they saying it, because that's what's in their heart. Wow. Suppressed. Suppressed stuff. Stuff that's been there for years, they've been carrying around in their heart and won't release it to God. Will refuse to release it. I'd rather carry this than to give it to God. I'd rather carry all these bags around rather than to give it all to God. I've been doing it so long, I might as well keep on doing it. Wow. The issues of the heart. So again, before I move, I say, don't allow your heart. Don't allow yourself to have to go through what I went through, 5.5 hours of operation for my heart, for them to fix my heart. Second of all, now I got this big gash in my chest. And I'm still not used to it. When I look at it and I see it, I'm like, wow. Wow. I've been cut. I've been cut deep. And there's a big, long gash in my chest. I was saying there's a big hole in my chest. My wife said, no, it's not. Not because they had to close it up. But you can see from under my chin almost to my navel, the scar that they left. That's another word. You can come through and you can deal with and you can give God your heart and he won't allow you to look like what you've been through. Ask the Hebrew boys. Bible says they didn't smell like smoke. Their clothes didn't burn. Their hair didn't singe. They didn't look like what they've been through. But if you give God your heart, you won't have to have this big gash that disfigures the beauty of the human body. I pray for you. I, Apostle Stephen Amaker, am praying for you. Lord, please have mercy and don't allow them to go through what I went through. Now, watch this. Although it's been just a little less than a month now since this happened, I still have pain, excruciating pain in my chest. Oh, boy. Every time you cough, every time you sneeze, every time you burp, you need to say, thank you, God. Because every time I sneeze, cough, or burp, it feels like my chest is trying to split back open to the way it was doing surgery. However they had my chest, open and clamped open, it feels like my heart is being torn again. And guess what? I've been sneezing. I've been coughing. I've been belching regularly. And every time I do, it hurts. It hurts. I mean, it hurts. It hurts. Because you feel the pulling sensation in your chest. So that's another thing you don't have to go through. You don't go through. Because why? I went through it, so you don't have to. And the Lord allowed me to come on this radio service tonight to tell you, to warn you, to minister. Give God your heart. Give God your heart. Let go. Let go. The Lord spoke to me in the midst of the surgery. He showed me. And he told me, he said, if you had not have been the person that you say you are before me, he said, if I take you now, you'll die and go to hell. Wow. See, my friends, I was there walking on that tightrope of life and death. It could have went either way. And if I had not have been who I said I was, living the life that I say I am, and being holy and honest before God, if he had took me and there was any kind of sin in my life, I would have went to hell. Now, I know somebody might have an issue with that. Because I heard the pastor tell their church the other day, said, God ain't going to kill you or send you to hell for one sin. I beg to differ. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. He will send you to hell for one sin. One sin in your life. God will allow you to go to hell. Why? Wait a minute. Let's look at this. Because if he let you go into hell, to heaven, if he let you go to heaven with your one sin, then he got to let me go to heaven with my one sin. Then he got to let everybody else come in to heaven with their one sin. And, let's go back to the children of Sodom and Gomorrah. He got to let them in, too. And now with the problem in heaven, the problem with heaven is it's a place full of sinners. And heaven is not for sinners. Heaven is for people that live what they profess. Walk upright before God. Live according to the word of God. While I'm there, I wanna say this to you. While we're right there. Let's just tell the truth. There are certain things. And we're going to read about that in a few minutes. That the flesh don't like in the word of God. That it goes against the very moral fiber of the flesh. Let's say, I don't want to do this. I'm not going to do that. So then we have a tendency, people have a tendency of picking and choosing what they're going to obey and do. I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to do that. And you go through the Bible, and you say, no, can't do that. No, that feels too good to my flesh. No, I ain't going to stop that. Been doing that too long, way too long. And it would be too hard for me to stop. So rather than to try to bring it under subjection, I'll just hold on to that. I'll just ignore it. Act like I didn't see that. Act like I don't know that. I'm not going to pay attention to that. I'm going to do what pleases my flesh. Brothers and sisters, truth be told, you have not given God your heart. Let's look at this way. You meet a person, hopefully for the men, a woman, and for the women, a man. And y'all begin to talk, and I'm gonna give this person my heart fully. So you go and do everything. Get rid of old boyfriend. Call old girlfriends and say it's over. Why? Because my heart belongs to this person. And so you totally give everything over to your heart because of what? because of love? Oh, the deeper I go, the more this opens up. Is it possible that you don't love God as much as you say you do? Most people right now will say, yeah, well, I love God with all my heart. But you're not willing to obey his word with all your heart. Again, you quote the scripture, God knows my heart. And he said, yeah, I know your heart. And I know in it dwells no good thing. This is Apostle's praise. I'm sharing with you some of the things that I've went through the last couple of weeks. As I was saying earlier, I was in that place between life and death. I mean, I was right there. I seen myself. The Lord showed me. Take you right now. I want you. Because you did. How many people you know die on an operating table? Right there. He said, I'm going to give you a new heart. Not in your chest, but in your mind. So I want you to look at stuff different. I want you to think about things and life different. I want you to see different. Things which you think was important is really not. That's what I want you to look at different. What is in life is to please God. Oh, that's the main thing that's important in life, is to please God. And to my sisters and to my brothers, stop trying to please people. Because no matter what you do, they're not going to be pleased. 100% anyway. Short term. You did this, but you didn't do that. You said this, but you didn't say that. You went this way, but you didn't go that way. Because you're trying to please. And you're running around trying to please each other. And God is saying, the one who is most important, the one who it matters to the most, you're not even trying to please them. They came to the apostles, and they said, now look, you're going to have to stop preaching in the name of Jesus. You're going to have to stop preaching this resurrection. Apostle said, now, whether it be right for us to please you or to please God, we're going to please God. Why? Because you don't have a heaven or a hell to put me in. So I'm wasting your time and my time trying to please you. Mm-mm. You mean all this time you trying to please that person only to see that no matter what you do, they still not pleased. And you could have been putting that effort and that energy in trying to please God. It's 2018 now. Happy New Year. We said at the beginning. Happy New Year to you. To your family. It's a new year. It's a new day. Oprah told all those women the other day, it's a new day. And in order for it to be a new day, you can't go into Egypt, or rather, you can't go into the promised land with Egypt in mentality. You're going to have to make some change. Oh, wait a minute. Let me say that again. You are going to have to make some change. Let me say this again so I'll make sure you heard me. You, not me, you're going to have to make some change in your thinking, in your life, in your walk, in your trying to please God. Why? Because you've been doing it on your own for so long. Now God says, it's either all or nothing. So laying there between life and death, and I knew I was there, the Lord began to speak to me. He said, one day you was walking around, everything was fine. Now look at where you at. Alone. In that OR. Nobody but me and God. You're talking about God knows your heart. You don't know what day God is going to require of you the things of your heart. You don't know. It can happen any time. And if it does, say, get ready. He said, be ready. This is what he's talking about. He said, two will be on the roof. You won't have time to go get your hair. You won't have time to go in there and get your bag. You won't have time to kiss the family goodbye. You won't be in the place that you can get your bag because you're here. I couldn't tell the Lord, wait, let me run home and get my stuff. I couldn't say that. Wait, Lord, give me some more time so I can get it right. He said, you should have had it right. You said you were this. You said you were that. How does God see you? How is God looking at you? Where is God? If anything happens, what is God going to do? Because he gave you the word. He gave you time. Daddy People came out with a song 2 years ago. He's given us time to get it right. Every day. Oh, yeah. I won't shake. My son. Every day. The Lord allows you to live. He's giving you time to get it right. Stop letting the days go by. And you're not getting it right. Stop letting this be an ongoing cycle. And you refuse to get it right. Because one day, my brother, one day, my sister, and stuff can happen within a matter of seconds. 1 second you can be walking down the street. Next second you can be being loaded in to an ambulance because you got shot. then you got to stand. Lay in on the operating table. My brother, my sister, I have a deeper respect for the things of God. I have a deeper respect for the things of God. I have a deeper respect for pleasing God. A greater sense of, rather than to please folk that ain't gonna be pleased no matter what you do, take that energy and please God. This is the Apostle's Prayer. This is the Apostle's Prayer. I'm praising God for what he's done, where he's taken me. I told you earlier there were three of us in the hospital, and all three of us had the same death warrant hanging over our heads. My mother, my aunt, and myself. We all was facing life or death. God said, I'm going to give you grace that your mother can fulfill what she needs to be filled. God said, Apostle, your work is not finished yet. He said, I want you to tell my people. And let me throw this in. Let me throw this in just for you that are listening. Because the Lord was beginning to show me, he said, when you told people and when you told people that you had three strokes and I healed you, because they did not see you, they didn't believe. It's hard to believe. When you tell people you haven't had insulin in years, they don't believe. But the Lord said, this time, I want you to take some selfies of yourself. I was hooked up to 17 machines at one time. 12 IVs in my neck. In a big tube that they had launched on my neck, side of my neck, so that the IVs could go into my body. Jesus, where I've been. And I'm glad to be here to encourage you, to talk to you, to minister to you the things of God, what God is saying, what God is requiring in this hour from his people. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is the least you can do. That's why the Bible says it's your reasonable service, which means it's the least you can do. After all of what God did, put me on the operating table, three strokes, sugar diabetes delivered, the least I can do is give him my heart. Don't make God have to lay you down with three strokes. Don't make God have to make you a diabetic. Stage 2, stage 3, diabetes. Do it on your own. Do it on your own. All right. I want to give you a couple of scriptures. First Corinthians, Max Lydia to read. First Corinthians 5:3. Let's start at the 6th verse. I wasn't going there, but I think have you seen something?
1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6.
That's it.
Your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump?
You see that? Just to disobey God in one small iota of his word. To God, that is totally disobedient to his word. It's going to affect the whole lump. But a little leaven in is going to affect the whole lump. Read.
Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump.
Go ahead.
As ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Look at that. Let's go down to the 9th verse. Say there, 1 Corinthians 5:9.
I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators.
Look at that. You trying to live absent. You trying to live holy before God. And the people you run with are fornicating. And then they come back and tell you, we had a time last night, me and Charlie, me and Susie. And Paul is saying, you ain't got nothing to tell me. Until you get right, there's nothing you can tell me. Wow.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
It's funny how people who don't do right want to tell the one that's doing right what to do. That's funny to me. Here you are not doing right, and you see me trying to do right, and you're going to come over here and tell me what I need to be doing. Wow. I'm not making this up. It's right here in the book. Just verse.
Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, but then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, a covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, know not to eat.
What Paul is saying is, if you have an acquaintance or friend that is practicing sin, and you know it, don't even hang out with them.
Okay.
Don't go to eat with them. Don't have lunch. Don't sit down and talk to them. Don't do nothing. Why? Wait. Well, I can't witness to them. So they know more words than you do.
Yeah.
Every time you talk to them, they're telling you what the words say. Yeah. They know more than you do.
Yeah. Yep.
If they want you, watch my back. Watch my back while I take care of this. Watch my back while I go in here and do this. I'm not watching nothing. Because the Bible says I shouldn't even be with you. Go ahead.
No, I won't say anything. Go ahead.
In the government, they have a term called an accessory. If you go in and say, I'm a shoplift, I'm going to steal this, I'm going to do that, and they stop you two, they're going to ask you, did you know they were going to do that? Yes, I did. They told me you were going to do it. And what was you doing? Oh, I was watching their back. Guess what? They're going to arrest you too. Because you're just as guilty as the person that did it. Uh-oh. I didn't steal nothing, but you was with them. Knowing what their intention. This is what the scripture says. Let's go. Galatians.
What's that?
Chapter 5. Let's start at the 16th verse.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Look at here. This is how to keep yourself. Stop spending so much time in your flesh and spend more time in pursuing God and in the presence of God. In the flesh dwells no good thing. Flesh is always going to be worn against the spiritual thing. Come on, listen. I don't want to go. Come on, listen. No.
Okay.
You weren't 17 yet?
No. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would.
Read.
But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of the
flesh. You did what? Crucified the flesh and its lust.
Yay, Lord.
I used to drink. I used to smoke. Because it felt good to my flesh. But I had to crucify the flesh. So, hey, we ain't going to do that. We didn't read the scripture in Corinthians just like your body belongs to the temple of God. What nope. temple are you?
Nope, it is.
That's what I want you to see. Your body belongs to God. It's supposed to, anyway. You said it does, but your actions don't quite line up with what you say.
Amen.
Let's go to Colossians.
Chapter.
Let's go to the third chapter of Colossians in the fifth verse.
Colossians 3 and 5 reads, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil, conspicuousness, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
These are different sins. But, watch this. They have different attributes. People, and hopefully by next week, either I'm going to pull it up so we can see what some of these words mean. Because I understand that the King James and modern English words have kind of changed a little bit. And we need to see clearly what God is saying. What God is doing. What God is requiring of us.
Amen.
You read that was just the fifth verse, right? Read six.
For which things say the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience.
Eighth verse.
But now ye also put off all
No, stop, lady. I'm sorry. We got to include number seven. Read seven and eight.
In the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these, anger, malice. Oh, wait a minute. Blasphemous, filthy, communication out of your mouth. lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds.
Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Any man being Christ, he's a new creature. I don't see nothing new about you. You're doing the same stuff as you was doing when you was out of the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's supposed to be a difference. You still talking the same. You still talking the same. And you still talking the same, acting the same. Ain't nothing different. Ain't nothing changed.
Crazy.
You didn't give God your heart. So if you're giving your heart, you're giving your mouth. I'm looking for praise. Go down to 10th verse.
And having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him.
Look at that. Look at that. What's the new man? Crucified. Crucified. I got the crucifixion scars. Jesus said, any man follow me must take up his cross, and follow me. I got crucifixion scars. Don't make them have to nail you to the cross. Don't make them have to nail you to the operating table and split your guts wide open. Will you hear God? All right, I'm done. This is Apostle Stephen Anker, and this is Deliverance by Faith. I'm more serious, more determined, more steadfast to give you the Word of God. I thought I was going to give, thank you, Lady A, for joining me. But because she's been doing so much lately, taking care of me, taking care of herself, taking care of the house, taking care of business, she got to do it all. So I thought, well, I'll let her rest tonight. But I thank God for you coming on and sharing with us. Until our next broadcast, this is Apostle Stephen Amaker. Lady A have closing remarks and closes out in prayer.
Thank the Lord for the word on tonight and the testimony of Apostle. Thank the Lord for giving him the testimony. Thank the Lord for bringing him on through on the other side. And we continue to thank God every week and every day. But giving him a speedy recovery, bringing him on through. Hopefully someone tonight or in the archives hear the testimony and be encouraged in their walk with Christ, letting them know that Christ will bring you through whatever you're going through. He'll bring you through. Sometimes we think we're having it so bad and so rough. But there is someone else that's going through a little bit more rougher than what we're going through. And they're not going through it complaining, fussing, upset with God. but in it, giving God the glory, knowing that he is the healer. I tell people that, yes, I thank God, like Apostle said, for the doctors, for guiding their hand, giving them the, you know, the wisdom at that, for his particular case, giving him the wisdom for himself, his mother, and his aunt, you know, giving them the wisdom, you know, to get them to the place where God wants them to be. But we know when the rubber meets the road, we know God is the healer. We know that God is the deliverer. And we lift him up and give him praise in all that he does. And sometimes people don't realize. They don't realize. Some people get up every morning and they think they get up on their own. They think they go about their day on their own. And that God don't have nothing to do with it. As a way of allowing time and situation to give you a reality check. And you'll be able to lift your voice and say, I know my Redeemer lives. I know it was God that brought me through the surgery. I know it was God that brought Mama through the surgery. I know it was God that took me and brought me back home at the end of the day. Me and my family, and we sit down and we're eating dinner at the dinner table together. It's God. It is God. And we have to give him the glory. And we have to give him the honor. Because it is in him that we live, that we move, and that we have our being. It's in him. And when we recognize that, we could glorify him as such. We can give him the glory. We can give him the honor. When it's time to assemble yourself corporately in the house of God, nobody have to pump you. Nobody have to say, come on, saint, come on, come on. No, God has just been so good to you that you come into his house like the scripture, come into his sanctuary with praise, come into his house with thanksgiving, paraphrase. But you come and nobody have to pump you. Nobody have to promise because you know it is in him that he allows you, he provides for you, he makes a way for you. All that I've heard tonight, I've lived through this too. As he said, I've been here living through it too. So I thank God for helping me and blessing me and strengthening me to bring me on through. Because, you know, the families is the ones when husband, mama, children going through, you know mama. Mama got to be there. Wife got to be there. We're there to help, to pray. And it is in God that we are leaning on and depending on to bring us through the situation, to bring our loved ones through on the other side. So I just love the Lord on today. I love him with all my heart, soul, mind, and body, what he requires. And I love him willingly. He ain't got to make me love him. Oh, I love him because of who he is, what he's done for me. And we can only, we are as individuals, we are the only one can give God praise for what we do. That's why my husband, Apostle, is only giving God praise for what he did for him. Because I can thank God for what he's done for him and brought him through, but He is the one, God is the one that brought him through. So God is listening, saint. He's listening for your voice to give him praise and to give him thanks and to honor him and to love on him and to appreciate him for all that he does for us. He does so much for us. Don't take it for granted. I tell people all the time. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Don't take it for granted. Oh, my God. Allow you to do because you do it. Oh, because it ain't, you can't do it. That your eyes come open. The eyes of your understanding come open. Oh, my God. Oh, God. You realize it's God. You realize that it's Jesus. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you will. If you don't, time and situation will bring about change. I just thank God for everything and those that are listening. I just thank God and I praise God for his word on tonight. Yes, I do. The scriptures that we read on tonight, thank God for his word. Oh, God. He wants us to pass our flesh, and he wants us to walk in the spirit of his word. Oh, God, we just love you, and we thank you for everything, God. Oh, we love you, Jesus, for we come at our help, because all of our help comes from you. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for making a way. Thank you for the food on our table. Thank you for our going out and our coming in. Thank you, God, for this new year that you've allowed us to come over into. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you. Oh, continue to bless us and strengthen us and keep us. Keep us in the way that we should go. Give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying to us on tonight, on this week when we're in Bible study, on Sunday when we gather together corporately. Give us ears to hear. And after we hear, God, help us to be doers of your word. We just thank you and we praise you for everything, God. We love you. We love you. And we give you praise, God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us, God. You loved us so much. You love the world. Oh, God. Thank you for your drawing power. Thank you, Lord God, for drawing them, the unbeliever, to the cross. Thank you, Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, God, for your heart is sold. Your heart is for people to come unto Jesus and accept them as your personal Savior, as their personal Savior. We just thank you, God, and we praise you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. And have a blessed week on this week, people. Have a blessed week.
God bless you. Till our next broadcast, be blessed.